Miss you guys, and before we get started here this morning, let's just before we open up the Word and pray. Psalms 91 says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." So we're going to take our flu shot. Every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. One more time. Every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. That is the word of God. That is not opinion. That is the word of God. And the word of God never comes back void. It never fails. I'm excited to get into this morning because, we're going to continue in the next part. How many were with us last week online? Right, whether you watched it maybe that day or later, we continued with the Mythbusters series, and last week I know that we had a few weeks ago, and I'm going to get into all that in the message. But a few weeks ago we talked about praise and worship, the importance of praise and worship, and it was so much that we needed to do a part two, and then some situations happened in our house. Pastor Kathy, the following week, we didn't deliver part two. Pastor Kathy came in and delivered a message on our country and voting and the importance of that. And I encourage you, we are coming down to the wire. If you have not voted yet, go and vote. I will say this. I'm not going to say who it was, but I was watching something yesterday. And it was somebody interviewing somebody else that has gotten pretty political. And has allowed their voice to become very, very well known when it comes to God. It's a very popular artist. And so I was watching this hour-long interview, and I got about 35 minutes into it, and I turned it off. Because when the interviewer asked the interviewee, right, he said to him, "So, you know," he started talking about politics, started talking about President Trump, and then he said, "Well, did you vote for President Trump?" The interviewer asked the interviewee, and the interviewee said, "No, I've never voted." And then the interviewer said, "Wait, you've never voted?" "No, I've never voted," he said. And then the interviewer said, "Well, then you've got nothing to say about this situation." Amen. And I'm like, and I'm like, "That's right." And the interviewer said, "Well, yes, I do." And then I'm like, "No, you don't." And I clicked it off. And I don't want to hear no more. I ain't going to blah, 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 blah. Listen, you can't complain if you don't vote. Okay? I was raised in a house that way. And so, you know what? Vote. Go vote. How do you vote? How do you vote? You know, should I vote for President Trump? Should I vote for former Vice President Biden? Who should I vote for? So many people have so many different opinions, and I'll tell you exactly who to vote for right now. So, you know what? Get your pen and paper out. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay? You vote the word of God. Okay? You vote the word of God. So what does that mean? That's the church answer, man. No, you know, that's not a church answer. You look at both candidates and what they stand for and which one lines up more with the word of God. Let me tell you what. There's no perfect candidate, okay? There isn't, okay? Both sides, it's crazy. I mean, I was a little disappointed in the first debate because it was just like a nasty. It looked like I was watching a divorce court or something like that. And my oldest, right? My oldest was like, he's watching for the first time a debate, and he's like, "Man, this is rough." I'm like, "Tell me about it." You know, but the second debate was a lot more calm, a lot more civilized. And you know what? It's just like, where do I vote? You vote the word of God. Amen. Okay? You don't vote popularity. You don't vote who you like the most. You don't vote, you know, who you don't vote. Oh, I don't have my wallet on me. You don't vote your pocketbook or your purse. Right, you vote the word of God, and then you know what? You will be happier because of it. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So vote, because we're coming down to the wire now. But that being said, but Mythbusters, we're going to continue, and I'm praying to the Lord Jesus that I'm going to get through all of this. So much stuff when it comes to these topics that I'm like, oh my gosh, this might be a two-parter of this four-part. Part four. No, this is part five. Part four. This is part four. Part four, right? Because part one we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, and we really could have went two Sundays on that, or even more than that. And then, you know, then we went from the person of the Holy Ghost, and part two was about the importance of praise and worship. And then that was like a two-parter, and then Pastor Kathy, so this is part four. And then part five we'll talk about prosperity. And the thought pattern is this is based upon, you know, Jesus coming in, and just if those of you that hadn't been a part of the series, all of our services are archived. You can go on YouTube. You can go on Facebook. You know, if you just want to listen to the message, you know, that's like you're not, you know, that's you're driving and you want to listen to it, you can go to the our church website and you can listen to the service. You know, so many different ways and you can catch up. But I'll tell you that, you know, based upon, you know, this Mythbusters, we're busting the myth of some of these topics that have become like just people don't understand some of these certain topics in the church world today. And based upon, you know, Jesus, coming to the earth and living 30 years and then 3 years in ministry and then dying on the cross and rising again on 3 days later. And then he was here 40 days, on the earth, right? And before he left, he said, I have to go because why? He's going to come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So I must go so that he must come. And so he ascended. Right, he ascended, and then the Holy Spirit fell, and then we were picking this up from where that, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, just showed up the first time, you know, in Acts in a very demonstrative way, and people didn't understand what was going on because they didn't understand it. We pick it up right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. So the people were amazed and perplexed and asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. And because they heard, them speaking in other tongues and didn't know what was going on. And, you know, and he continues. Peter stood up in verse 14. Peter stood up and said with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you in Jerusalem. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And they're saying that, you know, he was saying, you might think it's that, but it's not that. It's, you know, not drunk. It's this. And the challenge that we face as human beings, if we don't understand something, we either push it away or we make fun of it. And this is exactly what was taking place. And the challenge with that is, when it's a gift from God, and we either push it away or we make fun of it, it's a very dangerous place to be. And so these topics that we've been talking about this morning, what we will talk about, we have to be very, very careful. I mean, this itself is what would the prophet Joel prophesied. They were waiting on this. They just didn't understand it. They didn't recognize it. So what did they do? They made fun of it. They pushed it away. So we have to be really, very, very, very careful. So this morning, we're talking about healing. Healing. And so I want to encourage you, let's pray, and then we're going to talk about a biblical, approach to healing. And so let's pray. And let's lift up our country at the same time. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father God, that we come to this place not to be entertained, but we walk into the house of God to be drastically changed. So we can say that it was so good to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank you. We lift up our country. We thank you, Father God, for peace that passes all understanding. Unity, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that individuals understand the importance of a vote, their vote, Father God, so they can let their voice be heard. It's such a great gift to be able to go and vote in our country. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We're going to get into healing today to disperse the myth behind what some may not understand. You know, thus, you know, people making fun of. I would say this is a topic that a lot of people make fun of to the point where you and I may have been called the health and wealth crowd, right? Right? And I'm going to kick off this morning with there's two sides of this pendulum, right? This pendulum swings on both sides, and it's gotten it's gone too far on one side, and it's also too far on the other side, right? And now, this word is not a real word. I made this word up. I figure if my wife can make up words, I can make up words too. And so, this word, it'll get the point across. And one side of the pendulum is called the confessionalist approach. The confessionalist approach. This is, now, hear me out. This is that name it and claim it. What they say, it's a name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. Right? Now, I know that the Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. But a lot of people get this mixed up. The full side of the pendulum is where we can say we can just have anything if we say it. I can have a Ferrari if I want it. I have a Ferrari, I have a Ferrari. And people look and they say, that's jacked up. Because they utilize the word of God incorrectly. For example, I remember, I think it was the first year my wife was, we were not dating, we were friends, but we were dating off and on. You know the story, 11 years off and on, right? But I remember her first year of Bible college, we would call every once in a while, talk. And I remember she called me up crying. I don't even know if she remembers this. But she called me up crying because, and it's going to prove this point, that somebody in her class walked up to her and said, God told me, she don't even know this guy, never met this guy, don't know this guy. God told me that you're going to be my wife. And so I'm confessing you as my wife. She went home and cried. She goes, that man ugly. You know, like, I, you know. She didn't say that. But she's like, she didn't say that, but she probably was thinking it. But I don't know. I don't know what he looked like. And so, but she says, you know, God didn't tell me this. And there is that, see that side of the pendulum, it doesn't work that way, you know? And the extremists, you know, when it comes to the confessionalist approach, is that it's gotten so far off, you know, that even if you're sick, if you're sick, you're in sin. That's messed up. See, that's too far on that other side of the pendulum. Amen. If you're sick, you're not in sin. Right? If you're sick, you know, you're not messed up. You're not far from God. Right? And then there's the other side. The other side. But before I get there, I would say, let me just encourage people in the house. You know, that is a wrong place to be, is judging people, judging someone else because they're sick. Judging someone because they choose to take an aspirin. Judging someone because they choose to, take prescription, whatever. Everyone's on different levels in their walk, in their faith walk with God. And it's absolutely wrong. And I tell you what, I got zero tolerance for that kind of mentality because I think it's wrong. And that's how people get messed up. That's how people get confused, you know? And because people, when it comes to confessing the word of God, that's just what it is. You're confessing the word of God. You're not confessing opinion. You're not confessing desire. You're confessing the word of God. That's where it's got to be filtered through and lined up. And that's why I say it's the pendulum swings way on that side with this confessionalist approach. The second other side of that is what they, it's another made-up word. So I got two today, right? And it's called the sensationalist approach. And there's an actual theology in some denominations called sensationism, right? Sensationalism is the actual belief. And let me tell you, there's not even a single scripture in the Word of God to back this mentality. But let me tell you what it says. It says it's the belief that miracles did happen in the Bible. They just don't happen today. They don't happen anymore. It's when the final apostle died, God stopped doing miracles. And I think everybody in the room doesn't believe that one bit. But there's that other side of the pendulum. And, you know, the challenge that many of us in this room, we've seen God do great things. Amen. But can I be honest with you? where some people are challenged with, we've seen God do great things, and we also have buried people that we've prayed for. Amen. We've had some disappointment. And when this happens, there's fear. I've experienced this personally. I've prayed for people who have got miraculous healings. And I've prayed for people who have passed on and died. And what does the Bible say about these things? Like I said, I truly hope I can get this all out one Sunday. If not, we'll do two. One of the clearest places in the Word of God, in the Bible, that talks about sick people being well is this. James chapter 5, verse 13. We'll start there. It says this. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Right there. It says, man, if you got trouble, if you got trouble in your life, man, pray about it. And then you know what? Let them pray. And you know what? Bam, prayer is answered. Right? There's turnaround right there. And let them sing songs of, is anyone happy? And let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And we're going to do that. After service, you know, if you're comfortable, I brought my mask, you know. And if you want hands on you, you know, I'm going to pray for individuals that desire to, you know, have their hands laid on just about exactly what the Word of God says, you know. If you want to be anointed with oil, I'll do that. Let me know. You know, I'm not going to slather you all up like look like a greased pig at a county fair. You know, a little dabble do you? You know, and there's nothing magical about the oil. It's just a symbol of the Holy Spirit. As just like water baptism is a symbol. Just like a wedding ring is this. You know, so there's nothing magical about it. But you know, we're going to be doing that today. I will be doing that today after service. Pastor Kathy will be in the foyer. I will stay here. Anyone that wants to get prayed for, but let's go on and say and listen to this. And the prayer offered in faith. That's a very, very, very strong phrase. Offered in faith, and we're gonna talk about faith this morning. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up, and the Lord will raise them up, period. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Wait, I'm talking about, I'm sick, dude. Brother, I'm sick, and you're talking about sin? You're talking about being forgiven? You know, this is what the Bible talks about. Therefore, if you confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be, what's that word? Healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One thing I want you to understand about faith is not just an instant. Faith is a journey. Amen. Faith is it's not just an instant, it's a journey. The word healed in James chapter 5 is different from your body being healed. It's a different translation of that. This is referring to an inner healing. And it's a word that is something deeper in your life than physical, your body physically getting healed. And I want you to note that because we're going to come back to that. So we're going to be dissecting this passage of Scripture, and I see three observations that I want to get to you today, at least these three observations I can get to you today, and if we don't, like I said, we'll finish up next week, but I believe this is going to help some individuals. Three observations that I want you to understand about healing is, number one, it's very simple, very plain, we've already established it, but it's very important to say, is God still heals people. God still heals people. There was a young lady when I was a youth pastor several years ago that she'd come to DYG. She was a part of the youth band and great personality, loved the Lord. But I tell you what, when she used to get an asthma attack, man, she was down. And when she get an asthma attack, she just was, like, when I'm talking about down, the asthma attack was so bad that she would have to be brought to the emergency room every single time. She would average an asthma attack at least one time a week, maybe once every other week. So she could be in the emergency room up to three or four times a month. And I remember we prayed for her. She was believing God for her healing. We prayed for her at Camp Decision. And we prayed for her, and she said that she just felt like air just shoot after she got prayed for, shoot in her lungs. She just felt her lungs expand. And she said, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And we're like, oh, praise God. You definitely, you want to get that checked out. That's wisdom. That's not faith. No, I'm just going to tell you, that's stupidity. Amen. That's ignorance. Okay? And say, well, I don't need the doctor's approval. No, you don't need the doctor's approval, but it's walking in wisdom. The Bible specifically talks about that we are to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And so, just get that confirmation. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's nothing different. I can't see anything different. Can't see. And she's like, well, okay, that's fine. But she walked out saying, I know that I got healed. Well, guess what, church? 1 week of not having an episode, not having an asthma attack turned into 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned into a month. A month turned into 3 months. 3 months turned into 6 months. 6 months turned into a year. And she was in the youth group for after this time, maybe you want to say a couple years, 2.5 years. Never had another asthma attack. She graduated the youth group and went on to go to college. And I believe she's an RN now. And to this day, to my knowledge, has never had an asthma attack since. God still heals people today. The great physician has not closed up shop. He is still in the healing business. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and what? Forever. That's why it's so important to filter your confession through the word of God. Because feelings change, right? Situations change. Circumstances change, but the word of God never does. And that's what we have to stand on. So you say, okay, John, then tell me why? Why doesn't healing happen all the time? That's the million-dollar question right there. And I'll be honest with you. If I was God, man, I'd go down to that children's hospital. I'd empty every room. Amen. I remember being at the Arnold Palmer in Orlando when Juliana, the first 3.5 months that Juliana was born, and we were in that NICU in the Arnold Palmer, and when she was battling for her life, and I remember, Kathy and I both remember seeing babies dying around Juliana that were going through far less than what she was. And those parents, I would, if I was God, I'd just go through and just clean it out. And I think about stuff like that. Who doesn't? But the truth of the situation is Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And this is the point. In your Christian journey, this is the point in my Christian journey that we're going to have to be okay with saying, okay, I'll have to wait for that answer.
Amen.
Amen. Me, John Mazza, has learned throughout the years that I am perfectly content with showing up in heaven and saying, God, why didn't you? but not be caught up now by saying, God, why didn't you? But I know I'm content with getting to heaven and saying, God, why didn't you? And then God saying, oh, well, let me show you why. I'm content. And I have a theory. This is not the Bible. You know, there's nothing that proves this. But I have a theory, right? I have a theory that when we all get to heaven, that there's going to be one universal sound that we probably will hear first. Right? I mean, other than, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, like, yes. But I believe that, you know, you're going to probably, when you get up there, you're going to be like, okay, where's Mazda at? Where's John? Where's John? Because, you know, he was right. The first sound you may hear in heaven may be, oh. And be echoes of, oh. A bunch of Christians, oh. It's not in the Bible, but I guarantee, man, I bet you it's going to be like that. The Bible says in 1 John that one day we will be in heaven. We are going to see him as he is, and everything becomes clear at that moment. So that tells me that it's not clear right now to me. It's not clear right now. And the question is, the billion-dollar question is, are you going to be okay with it in the meantime? I mean, I struggled when my father passed. You know, he sacrificed his career, his life, his reputation. He sacrificed everything for my brother and I. He really did. And he died at the age of 54 years old. Man, and I thought about it, man. You know, she died at the age of 54. My mom is still around. My mom's still alive, you know, and she's still kicking. I'm like, what's the deal with that? And don't get me wrong, I wasn't bitter at her. I had forgiven her. But, you know, your mind just thinks naturally. Say, wait, man, this man gave up everything for us. And he dies early. He dies at the age of 54. He dies before her. You know, just being honest. And I tried, man. That Thursday morning, December 11, 2003, he laid there in that bed. I tried everything I could to bring him back. I laid hands on him. I spoke to him. And there was... He's still laying in that bed, lifeless. Can I encourage you with something this morning? At that time, I didn't have direction. I didn't have answers of why. I didn't have the answers of why. But in the last 17 years that he's been gone, God has shown me some things that I understand more. I may not have understood in that moment. I may not have understood within a year after that, but I did not allow it to get me caught up in quicksand and in the mud and turn from my destiny, turn from my call. Give up on faith. Give up on my relationship with God. I've seen so many do that at a loss of a life. And it's just something that you know, we cannot allow it to trip us up. Amen. But so many answers that I have now that I believe God has shown me in that growth time with him. Those of you that have questions, stay the course, and you will see what God reveals to you. Remember, he said, for my thoughts are not their thoughts, my ways, or neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. You know, at the end of last year, we did that series called Gladiators. How many remember that? The men and women of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, right? And there's a great series, the Gladiators of Faith. you know, of the hall of fame of faith. And we never got to the scripture where, you know, in that series where some people didn't get the answer to their prayer. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40, it says, all these people earned a good reputation of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God has promised. What is that? Verse 40 says, for God had something better in mind. God had something better. Well, it's not my better God. No, it's God had something better. Well, my better in mind is God, you do what I tell you to do. God says, no, I have something better. Another translation of the scripture says, God has planned something better for them. If you're going to understand healing, if you're going to try and understand healing, we believe God for healing, but also we have to trust him even if it doesn't go the way we think it should. Amen. Honestly. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 1. Let me tell you, this is something that is a great revelation for individuals that don't understand why. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. This is a Bible, people. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. That's Bible. We may not have the answers, but you know what? When we get to heaven, oh, gosh. That's why I have no problem with just saying, you know what? I don't understand, but I'm not going to let it catch me. I'm not going to let it trip me up. I have no problem with trusting my God. You know, I don't worry about the things that I don't understand. I put my faith in my God. Because if you don't, it will drive you crazy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I read the scripture and I was like, okay, God, which is it? Right? I mean, are you rescuing me or are you bringing me? And the answer is yes. Amen. Yes, he does both. Amen. There's a bigger picture here. That's why the scripture we read earlier in James chapter 5 goes from praising God, believing God, bringing people forward, anointing them with oil, and all, and that is all wonderful. But James goes right into that dialogue about sin and your soul. He uses the word healed. If I remember, you remember me talking about it. He used the word healed. It's a much deeper thing than anything physical, because number two is that God is more concerned about your soul. God is more concerned about your soul. Let me tell you why. My body is not who I am. Your body is not who you are. Your body is what you live in. The Bible says my life, your life, our life is just what? Is a mist, it's a vapor in the light of eternity. My life isn't life, and my life is not this body. I'm not what you see. There is a person on the inside of this earth suit. There's a person on the inside of your earth suit. This body will return to dust, but my soul, my spirit, is what goes to heaven. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And Jesus is saying here, are you concerned about earth? Are you concerned about earth? But you need to be concerned about heaven. Amen. Number two, like I said, God is more concerned about your soul, my soul. The greatest miracle is that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And that's the real deal. Where God really wants us, where God really wants us to be, and I mentioned this, and I touch on it, number three, and this is where we'll land, is number three is God wants me to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in our faith journey. When we focused on the miracle, we are focused on the miracle, whether they get the miracle, whether they get healed or not. And this may hurt, this may iron some toes out today, but God's not focused on that as you and I are. God's looking for something much more deeper. And that is the process that goes on in me in the meantime, while I'm going through that. Yes, does God want to heal us? Absolutely. But I tell you what, we are two results focused, and God is processed focused. Amen. Say, I'll break it down like this. We are concerned about what's happening to us. God is concerned about what's happening in us. Yep. Let me personalize it with this. I confess this in our home, right? I confess this on the stage. Psalms 91, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwellings. Every disease, germ, virus touches my body, dies instantly in the name of Jesus. And earlier this month, I was diagnosed with a sinus infection and an upper respiratory infection. Then ended up turning into something different. See, this doesn't feel the same. Pastor Kathy says, you need to go to the doctor. No, I don't. And like every dude in the house, every man in the house. Right? No, I don't. Yes, you do. No, I don't. I'm like, why? Come on. She makes the appointment for me because she knows I'm not going to do it. So I go, and they give me two tests. They give me a rapid blood one, which they, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, And then they did the whole swab thing where they touched my brain, I saw my future, So the one comes back in 15 minutes, and one comes back in a couple days. That's where I went. And so blood test one came back. Oh, you're negative. It's like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. All right. So, what are the odds that there's gonna be two different diagnoses or two different results? It's 98% accurate that these two are the same. So you're negative. Great. And 2 days later, I get the call from the doctor apologizing. You're the 2%. And I'm like, I always confess I'm always different, And you're the 2%. You're positive. Wow. Okay. And it's like, wow, I was shocked. I'm like, I almost didn't believe it. So, on Friday, October 9th, we communicated to the entire church via email. And I tell you, if you're not signed up for the In the Huddle, talk to Ashley. Man, get all that information because you miss vital information. Big time stuff, right? And in that email, it said that, there have been team members exposed to COVID, and we are praying, and I'm reading this verbatim, praying against sickness, confident that every disease, germ, and virus must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Pastor Kathy and I want to be overly cautious in protecting those at FWC. It's our highest priority to do all we can in protecting you and your family. Please be encouraged. If you find yourself experiencing symptoms of sickness, we encourage you to get tested. We contacted anyone that anyone was in immediate contact with. There's very few. And we told the entire church, hey, you feel okay? But allow me to address the elephant in the room. because there's a big old fat elephant that people don't understand. And I committed to you that I would be transparent and honest with you from the first day I stood up here, and nothing has changed. And I will continue to do that. Even when other people tell me that I don't need to be, I will continue to do that because that's what I feel in my heart to do, is to be totally 100% transparent. But I will say, people struggle with why wasn't the church informed? Why wasn't I alerted? Why wasn't I told that my pastor had COVID? Was it pride? What was it? It wasn't pride, it was wisdom. I don't expect you to understand it, but I expect you to respect it. Because of this, the same time, around the same time, President Trump was diagnosed with COVID. There was a ripple effect of fear that went through the body of Christ. Wait a second. This is our president. This is the president who's got peace being protected. And people are protecting him and making sure that he's not, exposed to this. And he gets COVID. And then a few days later, you're going to get an email saying that your pastor got COVID. I felt strong in my heart. It just wasn't time to take a step back. It's unnecessary, totally unnecessary, to have a wave of fear grip our people. Amen. So there wasn't any secrecy, right? President Trump did his thing. Everything was fine. Went through my thing. Fine. And then we told. And it didn't hit at the same time. And the thought pattern that I just had in my heart, I said, well, it wouldn't have bothered me. It would not have bothered me. It may not have bothered you, but it would have bothered other people. Can we stop being selfish for a second and stop thinking about me? Oh, not me, but you? It's the truth. It's the bigger picture. It's not about not hiding anything. It's not, because I was actually encouraged not to say anything to the church. And I said, no, that's not me. And so that's exactly, did not want an unnecessary wave of fear to grip people's hearts. And I repeat the word, it's unnecessary. I strongly felt to pump the brakes until it was passed. I didn't want to give the devil an opportunity, a position of opportunity within anyone's heart. Amen. That's how much we love you guys. Now, if something was, I was going to end up in a hospital or something like that, well, we would have communicated. But you know what? We were on top of it. That's why we did the rebroadcast service that one Sunday. And the following Sunday, we did online. And then today, we're meeting the first time. That's 21 days to protect our people. So like I said, you may not agree with it, but that's what we felt to do was best for the protection spiritually and physically for our church. And I'll tell you, those of you who are struggling, I want to encourage you, those of you that are struggling this year, 10 years ago, I had a surgery that they removed part of my right lung. And they found a birth defect. So therefore, I was extremely high risk. Extremely high risk. But I want to encourage you that I did not let fear grip me the entire time during COVID, and we continue to keep doing. You look at all that we've done during this time, here at the church. We did not stop. We continued to keep making this place great, ministering to our church family. We continued to keep going. I never worried or dropped in fear in regards to COVID, even though the doctor said, you are extremely high risk. I trusted God and had faith. My faith did not dwindle and didn't stop. And I didn't stop believing in God when the doctor told me that I was diagnosed with COVID. It did not stop. I still trusted God. I still had faith, even with half a lung missing. I mean, you think about it. This is a picture of I'm going to show you a picture of my x-ray. Should have it, right? Because, I mean, this is real deal. What am I doing? I'm trying to show you that, you know what? No weapon formed against you will prosper, but you've got to stand on the Word of God. And you've got to stand on the Word of God, not just here, but here. Because when those challenges come, when the hard times come, you know what? It wasn't like there was a couple of days. It didn't feel like I wasn't like, you know, going over and say, well, praise the Lord. I don't care what I feel like. My body is healed in Jesus' name, and I'm reading the Word of God. No, there was a couple of days. It was rough. It was rough, man. I didn't feel like opening up the Word of God. But guess what? The Word of God was hitting in my heart, and it just came up out in that time. It came up out in that time, you know? And so, you know, it didn't allow, you know, to waver my faith, even in some of my weakest moments during that time. And I don't like losing, okay? I don't like losing. I've learned to keep that side of my competitive side down. When you marry somebody that is just as competitive as you, and it's just do or die, and then you got to learn to tone it down in ministry, right? But there was a moment where it just rose up in my heart during this time. It's like, it's okay to lose to an opponent, but it's not okay to lose to fear. Someone needs to hear that. It's not okay to lose to fear. I must not give up. I must not give in to fear. It doesn't matter how many times that you get knocked down, you got to get up and keep moving forward in Christ. Amen. You know? And I tell you what, man, I never had to be admitted to the hospital because the power of a healing God, I stayed in faith and overcame. Several of you in this room overcame. That's not my due time. That is a reminder that at 10:25, my oldest was born, Nicholas. So he is at home right now, so he's not here. But at 10:25, he was born at 10:25 in the morning. And so, but anyways, that's my reminder every year. But so you too can overcome fear, stand strong in faith in this incredibly weird year. Come on. Music ministry, make your way up at this time. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, we will land here and now we'll finish up next week. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let me just encourage you. The time to seek God is not when you're going through a challenge. That's during those times where you have to have the Word of God hidden on the inside, where it just begins to bubble up in that time of need. Don't wait until challenges come, right? We're going to pray here in a second. And I just will, next week we'll talk about part two of this. And I believe to truly understand healing, you have to understand faith. And that's what we're going to be, we'll camp on healing in faith and healing next week. Praise the Lord. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed.